Today on the morning show, we talk a little history. We have Richland County Historical Society President Ken Feed in the studio with us. A little later on, we'll talk about a little history in Woodman, too, at the end of the morning show today. But it is the season again for the Aikie School to be open. And Ken, I know you're excited about that.
You know, it's always as you get ready. We've already had student groups out there, so we're very fortunate to have some local schools that are interested in getting there, in this case, third, fourth, fifth graders, because that's when Wisconsin history is taught in the elementary. And they asked to come out and pay a visit, and we're always welcome and receptive. So if there's any other schools out there that would like to get their elementary, or we've had high school classes come now, too, because that's a part of it as well. And I heard Mr. Moffitt talk yesterday, and part of Mr. Thompson's class going out to see Tipsaukee and the Coombe Farm. Those are great experiences for kids, and it's local. It's not where they have to drive to Eagle, Wisconsin to see Old World or to drive to Cassville to catch Nelson Dewey. It's right here in Richland County.
What do you think the students are thinking when they walk in there, especially high school students?
That was a great question you had yesterday, too, when you said, you know, were there questions? How do they? I would use the term awe because you're going back in history. And the things that Ben had yesterday, as he would have alluded to, and Mr. Moffitt just does a wonderful job. I told him his delivery to a high school group was outstanding. You look at those things and you don't realize that they're close to 200 years old. You know, some of that stuff dates back to such an era, and it's a simplistic time. It's things that they may not have ever seen. He had a cannonball from 1812. Now, that kind of stuff is earth-shattering that it's still around. 90% of history has been thrown away. And of the 10% that remains, people don't know what they have. We're a throwaway society, sadly. When we realize his documents and files, they saved everything. He said that yesterday, and he's accurate. I've seen it. And their filing system is immaculate. And they've been able to share things with the surrounding area. We'll have some Coombe textbooks from when the kids went to school. They'll be on display now at the Aikie School as part of our new exhibit that we're putting into the school itself. Things like that are just, to me, overwhelming, in awe that they still are around.
Today, as we look at it, it's a special year for the Aikie School Museum here in Richland County, as it was developed the year of the Bicentennial, 1976.
It was. Bicentennial Project for Richland County, and give credit to Judge Kent Houck, Alan Schaefer, many others that contributed. The Simpsons, you can go right down the list. We would be remiss if we didn't mention Harold Pauls. And the idea of that project and the Aikie School and the process of selection. You know, there's a number of schools still in existence around the county. Some of them are homes. Some of them have turned into outbuildings or other types of buildings. Sadly, some have gone the way of being razed or cleared out. The idea that the Aikie School was, I'll use the term, the most suitable for a museum. And they chose that, and then they restored it. And credit to the board of directors and people that I work with as a group, we've maintained that, and I am very proud of what you're going to see at the Aikie School, and it is a museum. It's a museum in Richland County that we can treasure.
We can, and you mentioned some of those names. They bring back a lot of memories. We'd be remiss when we start the program if we didn't mention Jerry Bauer here today.
Pay a tribute to the man. He was, for me, a teacher. He was a mentor. He was a confidant in a very lighthearted way. I need to say this. He was, for 40 years, the president, and he approached me about taking over the presidency. And I had agreed to the vice presidency on one condition, that it wasn't an elevation to the presidency. And he chuckled. Nick Stanichka helped out for 3 years. That was right at the time of my retirement and my daughter's graduations. When I took over, I said, one condition, Dr. Bauer, you need to stay on the board until you die. Well, Dr. Bauer passed away in January, and we approved him off of the board as of April. We're going to pay tribute to him with a bench for the memorial money that was there. A bench is going to be located outside the school, right next to our flag. And with that recognition to him for very simply this, he's a Richland County historian. He's emeritus professor of the UW-Richland. And he was dedicated to the Richland County Historical Society for over 50 years. And that's what's going to appear on the bench with his picture. And so to the family, ongoing condolences, but we celebrate a man, not just with the Historical Society, that did a lot for the community. You know, he was one of those original teachers that came to Richland Center, taught at the campus, and we were blessed to have a great staff. I can go up and down the list, and anytime you talk with them and about them, we just had an outstanding faculty at the UW-Richland, and Dr. Barrow was no exception. An excellent orator. I really, for my friendship with him, I value that even more.
Definitely. And you mentioned that all of those educators were integral parts of the community because they are involved in their churches and their civic organizations. But Dr. Bauer would come down often for the food pantry. Very, be on our show here.
Very, very humbly, very quietly, he would take that on. And what he did behind the scenes, I don't think people realize that. So he produced a lot of history research and really is credited with developing a history in the Richland County area. But the other things that was community service, that was volunteerism for his church and for his community that he did, that we need to remember the man. Yeah.
Back in 1976, a little personal history, but my sister and I were going through some old things that there were in a desk at the Ithaca Town Hall, and they had a whole collection of these books that the county used to put out. They listed like every teacher at every school, and we donated them to the school all those years ago. They were going to be thrown away.
Things like that, and you just said it best. Instead of throwing it away, check and see. Shout out to Crystal Foley at the Richland County History Room, which is on the second floor of the library. We can only take so many books, and we've got a plethora of them at the Aiki School. But the idea of paperwork like that, that gives documentation, that gives credence, and sometimes it isn't scanned, sometimes it's not available, and it's interesting when you come across those documents and you go, oh, I know where we can use that. And instead of throwing it away, check and see if it can be used first.
Indeed. Are there things in storage that you don't display all the time? Because I know you get a lot of things donated.
We have made every effort to put what is at the school out on display. More often than not, and again, I've gotten in touch with Crystal, or I've said, get in touch with Miss Foley up at this. The library's overrun, too. You know, you can only maintain so much as far as documentation, as far as information, but still check and see. At the Aiki School, everything that's out is available, although some of it is in transition. We just got a new showcase from the high school. When I say new, it dates back to 1923.
And it's new to the Aiki School.
It's new to the Aiki School, and it does take two seats out of the original setting. We didn't get rid of those seats. We've kept them, maintained them. We've had filming companies actually film the Aiki School because of the authenticity of the school. And we've got other schools in the greater area that we could mention as well. But for the Aiki School, it is truly a museum. So the stuff that is there, and I say stuff, it's amazing what does exist. And try to keep it simplified. We haven't went too high-tech. The showcase will be displaying mostly books. There are things like, there are things like marbles that may disappear, so we've got them in the showcase. If you can imagine a ball and jacks, because those might disappear. When I say that, we want to put them on display. We want to put them out. We've also got some Richland County history that's included in there. The Orion Town Hall recently raised their building at the corner of O and Double O, and the lockbox is going to be out just to show what that would be and a part of it. I need to give a shout out, and I'll talk about him a little bit later on, but Brian Brenninger at the L&M Salvage has just been wonderful. He has provided for our ag exhibit. Simply said, he's basically said to me, if it's going to the Aiki School Museum, I'm all in. And what has been about a year and a half in the works is now coming to fruition. It's still being manicured, but so many people have stepped up and helped out. You're going to see machinery there. And we haven't got it finalized yet. And it's not anywhere near the ag exhibit that takes place in the Nelson Dewey exhibit at Cassville, because they do have a historical museum I think it's about a 30 by 70 once you walk through it, with excellent dioramas, materials. We tied in because when you talk about rural Richland County and these local one-room schools, farming was a big part of it. So if you went to Twin Bluffs, there was probably a mercantile store. There was probably a gristmill there. All that took place in the local towns. But these schools, for the most part, are in the outlying area. You'd walk 2 or 3 miles to school. The kids are amazed when they come, especially the elementary. Well, in that barn across the road, you kept your horse. If you were lucky enough to have one and to ring the bell, because you could hear that bell for about a mile or two, to get you to come to school, you better not be late, and also that you'd ring the bell when it was done so the parents knew that the kids were coming home. The idea of the one-room school setting, the Aiki School, is really beneficial. There's nothing next to it. You know, across the road is the Lemuel Aiki House, and that's how the school got its name. The schoolhouse used to be across the road. I don't know if many people realize that. I'm amazed, and it's happened in our area. For me, Muscatine is the one. Lower Town, several of the buildings were lifted and transferred. The same thing happened with Richland City to Gotham, and some of them were taken on to Lone Rock. That in that time period, we have modern movers today that are very skilled and very good at what they do. But to imagine that was done 150 years ago, so the school was actually lifted up, taken across the road, rotated 90 degrees, and then eventually a cement block of sorts, it's not the brick and block and mortar that you know today, it's vintage, was placed under the building. There's an old coal stove in the basement. I still believe that if we fired it up, it would work, but we don't want to. And we don't allow anybody down there, obviously, for security and safety reasons. And basically, there's 2 desks and a stove in the basement right now. Otherwise, it's vacant.
That's where the naughty kids go.
That's where the naughty kids go. Yeah, forget the corner. It was a great question. You know, it's Art Linkletter time here. You know, one of the kids said, "Are there ghosts in the basement?" I said, "Well, I haven't seen any." And it was a great question. And for them, that's the fascination of the school. Some of the groups that come actually will have a picnic lunch there. You can do that. For our membership, it's available to members anytime upon request. So it doesn't have to be on that Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 when we're open, June, July, August, and September. If you're a member, and consider a membership. By the way, the membership isn't to keep a member role. The money goes, all of it, to benefit the school and things that we're doing there. And there's been a really, to the people that have, they've gotten a membership for a year or two and then they get a lifetime membership. That type of contribution is so appreciated. We've got people who have lifetime memberships but will still send in every year annually a donation to the Historical Society. And so for those people that do that so kindly, you don't know how valuable that is to maintain and continue what we're doing.
It's not an exorbitant amount of money, right?
It isn't. Just our board of directors, we met in April, and I've got to give a huge thank you to them, speaking first for our treasurer, Paul Wertzma, because he would be the money man. And then Vice President is Nick Stanichka. J.B. Mueller has been just great as secretary. We've got 3 board of directors that I value very much, Rob Bender, Crystal Foley, Keith Ritten. We'll have now 1 vacancy to replace Dr. Bauer. It's a board that's very willing to help out. And that, in this time period, isn't real common. I feel very good about all of them. I hope they continued like Dr. Bauer did till he passes. They are very history-oriented. They care about history, each of them in a different way. But it's nice to have a board like that. I'm very lucky as president to have those people on the board of directors.
You mentioned the farm machinery, Ken. What's the goal for that, and where are you going to be placing all of that?
Excellent question. And this has been in the works now for a year and a half, and I want to thank the Richland County Parks Commission for the early support and the development. If you look at the school as you drive by, there is a large triangle area that extends out almost, I would say a good 500 to close to 700 feet where we have put the display in that little wedge. For the Parks Commission, it means less lawn to mow. We've put down railroad ties. We have gravel going in. And a thank you to Randy Olson and Olson Trucking for their generous donation. A local, Danny Miles, has done the landscaping. We're just getting started. And the contribution of railroad ties, the Meese family, Jeremy Meese helped me out this last week. Hauled some of the machinery over from L&M Salvage. L&M donated 9 pieces of machinery. Does that mean we're looking for more? Yeah. Are we going to be selective? Well, I would hope if you were to say what it'll look like when it's done. I don't think it'll ever be done because we'll probably be moving pieces around. But I can envision 25 to 30 pieces of vintage machinery. And that goes from when tractors were used, but a lot of this, we have a drop rake out there, you know, that's vintage. And a friend told me, well, they still use those. I said, I would like to see that because I haven't seen it in operation, although I know what it does and how it works. We've got horse-drawn 5-foot sickle bar, if you can imagine a 5-foot sickle bar to cut hay. Through L&M Salvage and Brian knows that that machinery is there, but he knows where it's going and he wants to come out and see it. A couple things we have going that is creative. We've got the fenders from Annalis. Now, if you can envision a bench, a wood bench with the sides, the armrests are going to be those fenders. And I can just see somebody coming and sitting there for a little bit and reminiscing, hopefully a grandparent with a grandchild, because that's really good. The machinery that will be there will have signage. So on each sign, it'll have about a paragraph description, maybe about 200 words that tell you what that piece of machinery was and how it was used. If you were to envision looking at the school and looking to the east and that wedge, we're going to jog the machinery, but they're all going to be labeled. They're going to be identified that you could do a walk, or it's convenient enough that if you're, let's say, a little older and you didn't want to take that walk, you could do a drive-by. Not from the road. You'd actually be able to drive along those railroad ties, and we'll have, we don't want you going on the gravel, obviously, but you're going to be able to see that machinery sitting there. Instead of being in some field buried by weeds and debris or being taken to L&M, if you will, you're going to see farm machinery in different sorts. The real gem, there's a horse-drawn road grader.
Oh, my goodness.
Out there. I've already talked with Brian, and that's on our list to bring and to get there. Maybe one of the latter pieces, only because we'd like to put that. From the Akey Farm, and Harold Pauls was there for many years, and now the Paulson girls have been there. Angie Horkin, now her married name. There was an old grain drill, wood, and it's horse-drawn. That is now transferred across the road, and it's sitting on the lot. We haven't done our little primping and adjustment and twisting and everything that needs to be, but the machinery's there. And I can say with great pleasure, it's starting to take shape. You know, it's coming to a fruition. So for those that are listening out there, several people had contacted last year when we talked about it, of donating items. Now we're ready for that. When I say that we're ready, back then I'd say, well, we got to wait till we get things in place. Get back in touch with me. And the idea that we'll certainly accept almost anything, but what we're going to have to do is eventually kind of move pieces around. And does that mean we'll accept like? Well, there's 3 plows out there, but there's 3 different types of plows. One of our ideas is to take a wood bench, and if you could visualize this, there'll be tractor seats. So there'll be a John Deere seat, there'll be a Ford seat, there'll be an Alice seat, there'll be an Oliver seat, there'll be a Minneapolis Moline seat on this wood bench going across. Of course, the question is, which seat are you going to take? and with humor, and you caught it, you know, that could be a little bit of a landmark in and of itself. That will be to the eastern portion. We still have the outhouse. We're redoing that. Boswell did the painting last year, and those are 2 young men that I need to give a shout out to. Sam Bosworth and Aaron Wallace, they have their own painting company in Madison. They came back and did it at cost. In other words, we bought the paint, they did the painting. That's two young men that brought back and gave back to the community. And to them, thank you for doing that. You know, there's been so many just great things in a simple form. And now realize, that dates back to 1976, when the year before they had the vision. They put it together, brought in historical items, and they made the schoolhouse. Well, I'd like to say 50 years later, we've maintained it and, if you will, upgraded it. And there's so many unique, neat things in that building. You can come for 15 minutes and do a walkthrough, or you can come for our 3 hours and reminisce and go through some of the stuff there. And I'll tell you that in 3 hours, you may not see everything that's in the building.
Yeah, most definitely, and we hope people will do that. Now, you're open for the season this weekend, then?
Not this weekend. We start, it will be June. So,
June?
Yes.
Oh, I forget.
So,
I keep thinking this is June.
And isn't it, we threw you off with Memorial Day, too. We've got that one extension, and that does affect calendars. It's not the day, it's the date. And so we'll be open as of June 7th, 1 to 4. And the idea of each Sunday from 1 to 4 all the way through September, June, July, August, and September, every Sunday should be open, barring we've had a couple of really bad rainy days where we just didn't open up because, you know, first of all, you don't want to get out of your car, but, you know, it was just a bad weather day. We have not closed because of heat. And the one item in the school, I always joke with the kids, air conditioning is on. We've got central air where we open up the windows and it blows through both sides. We do have a large fan in there to also help with some of the warmer days. And it is nice out today again, and it was a beautiful day yesterday, but it can get warm in there on a Sunday afternoon.
Very reminiscent of how it was in the school days, though.
And that's the point to make. It's like, okay, you got to realize, and we have a porta potty there for use, and thank you to the Richland County Parks Commission for supporting that way as well. We want to get a piece of plexiglass to put it across the outhouse because we don't want anybody using it or those that are really inquisitive. It's a two-seater, by the way, and to watch fourth graders to say, well, you could go with someone else and they could sit there together. Ben Moffitt jokes about the privy, as he calls it, at Tipsaukee, where usually maybe it was an older adult that would take a child. The idea of basically learning some of the basics in life, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Good stuff. What year did the Aiky School close then?
Excellent question. And so that's going to tie in with two things. You got to go back to the 1890s when that building was built, 1894, moved across the road in 1916. It was in operation until 1962. You see now mergers being talked about. Well, we've gone full circle because in the 1950s, a law came out in the latter 1950s, 1958, the state of Wisconsin said, you've got to consolidate, you got to designate your schools. So a one-room school was affiliated with a high school. So your elementaries could be separate and independent, but they had to affiliate with a high school. Sextonville had a high school till 1942. The idea of consolidation came in that within 5 years you had to consolidate. And so that's where the Aiky School went by the wayside, pun intended, if you will. Most of them during the mid 1960s, by 1965, you're going to see those one room schools filter out. The buildings remained, but now children were being bused, and they're being bused to possibly an outlying school. We've had many of them, and those have gone by the wayside. Most districts, not all, but most districts now have a centralized elementary school.
Good stuff. Ken Thied, our guest. He is the president of Richland County Historical Society. We're talking history today on the morning show, and we will be right back. Ken Thied is in with us today. We're talking history all about Richland County and Aiky School Museum. I was really pleased the other day. I left my residence in Sextonville, and I pulled out on Highway 14, and I saw a sign that said Aiky School. Tell us about that.
Isn't that cool? That's the old sign. And again, I'm going to go back to B&L Signs, and they do an outstanding job. They are what they advertise, on time and on budget. Mike Adsit has been great to work with. The people at B&L, compliments to you, kudos. What's happened there is we've taken the old sign, but we wanted something out on 14, and we thought, okay, rather than a billboard of like for sandwiches that you'd see downtown, or a garage sale sign. It is not permanent. It's put in with steel posts. It will come out in October. Our plan is to put it in every May and take it out every October. But it is on 14, and it's got an arrow pointing down TB 4 miles. And it's where you see the sign. You got to get a little closer and check out. That's with purpose. You know, if it was a billboard of sorts, you know, the story, one, I believe I got it from Ryan Cairns, so I'm going to give him credit. They put the phone number upside down on the billboard. And the business was getting like 20, 25 calls that morning. Do you realize they put the number upside down? Yes, we did. We did it on purpose. And thank you for calling. We'd like to. So, you know, it was with a purpose. Sometimes you do that. The sign is there with a purpose. And it points with an arrow. Aiki Schools, 4 miles down the road on TB. Of course, you can come from Highway 60 and come TB North, and it's about 4 miles. It's about halfway between Highway 60 and Highway 14. The idea of that sign out there has been long coming, but now it's there. And again, it is not a permanent sign. It's not intended to be a permanent sign. It's simply a summer sign, if you will. And it's got the same verbiage, the same information, with that little arrow hanging down below pointing 4 miles. It will tell you June, July, August, September. It's open on Sundays from 1 to 4, the Aiki School Museum. So that's an added plus. Thank you for bringing that up. That's great.
Great stuff. Great area. And, you know, my family history, too, because my family on one side goes back to the Gothams.
Sure.
In Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then we had relatives in the Twin Bluffs. My dad's aunt was Helen Barnett, who had a house right there.
Yeah.
And we would go there and then over to the Twin Bluffs store, which was right on the railroad tracks. You know, Twin Bluffs was kind of a hopping place.
It really was. And we lose sight of that. And that's part of those history moments that I'm fortunate enough to do. And thank you, WRCO and Phil, for supporting us with that. All of a sudden, you start learning these little tidbits of history, and the standard line is, I didn't know that. And then they'll follow up with, oh, but I do know, and everybody wants to add to it, which is exactly the purpose. You start reminiscing, start talking about. You'd be surprised how many people are now looking for some of those one-room schools. We've got a map that shows them. It's available up in the Richland County History Room. We've got it at the Aiki School, that as you drive back home, oh, I didn't know there was a school there. And you start reminiscing about that school and the stories that go with it. Who are the teachers? Everybody remembers the teachers of that one-room school. And the idea of that building being very symbolic. So these small little burbs, if you will, that are now, you know, there might be a couple homes left. But they were thriving communities. There would be 35 buildings there. There would be 7 businesses. You'd say, seriously, in that little place? Well, you're seeing it in 2026. Go back 50 years and how have things changed? Go back 100 years and how have things changed? All of a sudden, you start reminiscing about if the building has been maintained. Some of them in Gotham have. And the idea of Twin Bluffs, the sign that goes with the railroad on the bike trail, is still there. But all of a sudden you realize, oh, there used to be a general store here. There used to be the big thing is the grist mills. You know, you would take your feed to be ground, your corn to be ground. The sawmills that cut the lumber were local, very common. Now, we've had prefab homes, log homes brought in, and that was done in the latter 1800s. Believe it or not, that did take place. The homes that were built are no different than what we have, but they're not where they just went up overnight. They're there and they became established. The barns, the barn threshing, where they'd come over and they'd put up a barn, and it would be a community event because that was community. That's the idea of the Ag Museum that ties in with the school, because that's a part of the community. That's a part of the history.
No doubt. Any idea how many one-room schools there were, like in that era, like the 30s and
40s? That's an excellent question, and that goes back to Dr. Bauer. There were over 100 recorded. I can tell you some were there and got moved, some were there and changed, but at one time, 116, I can validate.
My goodness. Right. And I mean, I just thinking around, you know, I know of just a few in my area. They were just every few miles, much like cheese factories. Right?
That's an excellent, and I use that in a lot of the presentations. And now that goes back, let's go back 50 years. Tell me that you didn't know where there's a cheese factory and cheese curds were being made.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd stop in there for the fresh curds. And those local factories were, again, a part of the area because you didn't transport your milk. You had it in milk cans. You probably kept it in a cooling vat or in the creek. You would have cool water, and then you'd get it, especially in the wintertime, to the cheese factory as soon as you can so that it could be made into cheese, which was then we were talking about. You know, people think, oh, I got to refrigerate this cheese. Oh, gosh, no. Take the cheese out and leave it sit for an hour or two. Let it sweat. You get some vintage aged cheese, that's the best, where it's actually went into a little bit of a sweat. The flavor is unbelievably good. And then I'll take that one step back. Fresh cheese curds that when you put them in your mouth and you can hear it squeak, you go, you're not rubbing or gritting. That cheese curd will squeak. Well, that is. And it's a simple pleasure of life that you just reminisce about.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we sent our milk to the Twin Bluffs Cheese Factory.
There you go, yeah.
When I was young, you did, yes.
We've been fortunate enough to receive from some different people. They would have the statements of the delivery. And then when you see the billing sheets, and people back then were meticulous. They were meticulous about keeping track of $1.36.72. And they'd have an itemized balance sheet that when you think about it for the time period, all of it recorded in hand and kept in record, that idea of, let's say, the cheese factory or at a mercantile store or whatever it might be, the records that I've been able to see at Tipsaukee that Ben Moffitt has allowed me to view, and I appreciate that so much, Ben, the idea of seeing some of those itemized things, it's overwhelming to the simplicity of it, but the importance of it. The idea that they kept track annually of how much seed they put in the ground and where that seed was planted and the cost of that bag of seed. And it was so scaled down to such a simplistic measure that you really have to appreciate it.
You do. Any other school museums that you're aware of? I'm sure there are others, but I'm not sure. I mean, Aiki is quite unique.
The one I'll mention with a shout out, which neighboring Richland County here, is the Blue River School. Mm-hmm. And they have it open during Autumn Fest. There are in outlying counties one-room schools that you could go and visit. None of them to the magnitude that you're going to find at Aiki School. The Blue River School Building and Friends of Blue River have done a great job with their history. Compliments to one individual, Helen Marr Adams, who I know personally, but she has just been a stalwart with history. And she's got so many people there that are working with her and helping her. They've got a great mission going in Blue River. Compliments to them. The Lone Rock Historical Society. And again, we talk about passing, the recent death of Millie Rote. But they've got a good crew there that I'm very impressed with. Shout out to Boaz, because I don't know the hours yet, but they do want to open up their museum with the mastodon inside. That is a plus and an addition. And Gladys Anderson and many of the people in Boaz that have contributed to that, including the Lions Club. I think they've been very supportive. And I don't want to overlook someone. That's to my knowledge that I'm sharing that. And you always worry when you start naming names and listing groups, you don't want to overlook somebody. It's not the one you catch, but it's the one you overlook. So a shout out to Boaz and the idea that that museum is there. Now, of course, Boaz Fun Days will be coming up, and I'll look for the opportunity to get in and see what they've done with any of their exhibits, which is a first-class looking museum that you'll enjoy. So in the area itself, you can't overlook the Little Brown Church, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That, and we do quite often. And we've got coming up, shout out with the Frank Lloyd Wright reminiscing and that group and what they're doing first week in June. I believe it's June 6th. With their program, all these historical things are so valuable.
They are. I think about, because I remember clearly when Aiken School had its grand opening, so that's 50 years.
Oh, wow.
And it doesn't seem that long ago, you know? And I'm hoping 50 years from now that the Aiken School Museum will still be afloat.
My simple line is that if they were to come back and take a look at it, those that were the forerunners, the people that laid out the vision and carried it out, that if they were to come back today, they'd be pleased with what they see. And then I take it a step further, just as you've asked and put it out there. I think it's something that's going to remain. And even some of these buildings that have been made into homes, but people will still talk about that being the old schoolhouse. You know, that was a school building there. And that can't be overlooked or can't be lost in the annals of time. The idea of the map that we have, just tracking, I didn't know there was a schoolhouse there. That idea, I think, really contributes to the historical importance. And so from 50 years ago, I hope they'd be pleased with what they see. My hope is that 50 years from now, it would still carry on.
Yeah, you and me both. Ken, thanks as always for coming in. And again, the Aiken School Museum, first weekend is June 7th.
June 7th, Sundays, June, July, August, September, 1 to 4. If you're a member of the Historical Society, you can schedule in a family function, a family visit. You can do that on an independent basis. Just get in touch with me. I would be happy to get you in the building as a member of the Richland County Historical Society.
Indeed. And the 250th birthday of our country coming up this year, this summer, the 4th of July is on Saturday. And
here's the ads that you've been, or not ads, but the promos you've been doing on the radio. Semi-quincentennial. We say 250th, but quincentennial is the 500th, semi meaning halfway. We haven't heard that term yet, so there's a new word for today.
It's harder to say.
It is. It's a mouthful. Semi-quincentennial
quincentennial.
For our 250th.
Yes, indeed. Well said. Well, coming up, we're going to talk a little railroad history. Woodman is rich in history.
And
well,
I love the Dinky, I believe, is the history that ties in there with Finnemore and all that, the idea of that independent narrow gauge track.
That's what's coming up. Roddy Dahl will join us on the line in just a moment here on The Morning Show.